Across the ASEAN, only on Money FM 89.3.
In some sense, Thailand seems to be ahead of most other economies in the ASEAN region and returning to some semblance of normalcy. But how is this going to impact markets and the economy moving forward, especially since the challenge is to pull Thailand out of one of its deepest recessions in recent memory? Today on Across the ASEAN, we're joined once again by Mr. Cobsin Silpachai, who's the head of capital markets research at Kasikorn Bank, to talk to us about his outlook. Mr. Silpachai, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your family are in good health, and I'd like to welcome you back to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me.
I also think back to our last interview in January and how things have completely been flipped over its head because of the pandemic and pretty much ripping everything up and everyone having to start from scratch. But this return to normalcy in Thailand at the moment that we're seeing from the outside looking in, how is this impacting your outlook for the Thai economy now? Has it actually improved over the last couple of months?
Yeah, I think, you know, the cliche new normal definitely applies. And what we discussed earlier in the year, that's totally out the window. So the new standards of trying to analyze the markets are going to be very challenged indeed. But yeah, to come back to your point about, you know, the outlook for the economy, as you were speaking earlier about how we were able to contain the virus, and I think our ranking in terms of cases is in the hundreds plus in terms of ranking. But that came at a very sharp cost as well, because if you recall that Thailand is an extremely dependent country on tourism, some estimates is that, you know, tourism is between 12% of GDP. But if you look at the number of tourist arrival, like last year was about 39 million people in comparison to the population, which is about 66 million people. Our economy for the past several years has been so geared up to its dependency on tourism. Having said that, last year, 38, 39 million. This year, maybe south of 7 million. So it's been a huge blow. It's a huge uppercut to our economy. So going forward, it seems that there's been so many attempts to try to resuscitate this tourism, such as there were some conversations about using the Phuket model, which and trying to get tourists to come to Phuket, have them being quarantined for about 14 days, and basically have them just stay on the island. But then if you get cases in the northern hemisphere that are breaking out, the second wave that's continued to come through, I think that kind of execution of a Phuket model is still going to be on paper rather than in reality. So that's a huge challenge indeed. So therefore, the main engines of growth, tourism, we've been hit by exports like everybody else because the global recession has really sapped global aggregate demand, and therefore demand for Thai goods shipped to overseas is seeing a pileup of inventory in the manufacturers' warehouses. So tourism is challenged, export is challenged, and if you are hoping for consumption to come through, social distancing and the lockdowns that we've had, even though it seems like, you know, your high frequency data in terms of mobility looks like it's recovered since the trough in second quarter of this year, but it's still way below trend. And that's suggesting that there's some estimate that this year, 8 to 10 million people out of a workforce of about 37 million could be out of a job, or they are already out of a job by this year. And therefore, that means wages are going to be suppressed. Therefore, spending power is going to be very limited to try to kick this through. So therefore, a lot of people have been hoping that if your exports can't recover, your consumption is challenged, investment is also challenged, because if you can't get business up and running, such numbers as capacity utilization right now is about 56%. Therefore, a lot of hope has been pinned on government spending to try to basically cushion the blows that COVID-19 has been landing the punches on our economy.
And, you know, from us people outside looking into Thailand also, we're also monitoring a couple of surprises. We had that sudden resignation of the Thai finance minister, and there's also signs of persistent protests at least on the streets. Without getting too much into the politics, sir, how has all of this affected private sector confidence, or perhaps in combination with these ongoing public health uncertainties at the moment? And has it affected market sentiment at all in Bangkok based on what you're seeing on the ground?
Yeah, I think it's the situation that we had in terms of the resignation raises a lot of question about the continuity of political stability and also the government's ability to administer the country to try to cushion all these blows that we've been talking about. So therefore, the unemployment that we mentioned earlier, the demonstrations are probably reflecting this fact that people are concerned about their future, their ability to earn wages and what have you. So therefore, it has been reflected in the sentiment of businesses. That's why in terms of investing, it will be very lacking indeed to reflect that fact that if we can't get aggregate demand up and running, it looks like businesses are going to be on the sideline, and therefore we're going to be heavily reliant on more defensive measures that continue to come through to try to absorb all the shocks as much as possible. But I think there's no way to avoid this, and therefore the consumer sentiment and the business sentiment has been reflecting things like what we've seen in the stock market as well, and also the widening credit spreads in terms of the corporate bond markets have been reflecting concerns about credit risk premiums.
And staying with the topic of consumption there, and officials might remain confident that cash handouts to citizens will be able to stabilize the economy and minimize the contraction. How could these cash handouts perhaps provide some positive impact to the economy and ultimately the market? Are sectors going to perhaps benefit from this, or is this just really not going to do much to boost things?
Yeah, I would categorize these attempts more as a defensive measure, or if I can borrow one of the quotes from the former ECB president, in order to get things really working and done, you need a bazooka to make a huge impact. Therefore, it needs to create large aggregate demand in order to not only large enough, but also sustained enough so that you change the mindset of manufacturers towards thinking of increasing production. And therefore, if you increase production, you start hiring. Because if you look at the measures that the administration have been trying to put through to try to coax the manufacturers from laying off employees. But then the manufacturer says, well, I have to lay off employees because I don't have any orders. I don't have any markets because exports is down and I can't really feed my production towards the local market. So therefore, I mean, I would have to categorize that. It seems that when they talk about billions and billions of baht being distributed towards the household, but when you break it down, it seems like it's about $100 US for about 24 million people. So I would categorize that this is probably going to help out with gas and groceries, staples and bare necessities, but it's not going to stoke the fires of demand for durable goods such as autos and households. So therefore, I think they've categorized this as more of a welfare than rather than a stimulus.
And Mr. Silpachai, how have record low rates across the world and in Thailand impacted now your valuation outlooks? People have said that Thai stocks have still remained relatively pricey when you compare them across the region. But in your opinion, do you think these higher PE ratios can be justified given the rate regime and all of this liquidity and stimulus that seems to have been unleashed? What are your thoughts on that, and how does that play into your outlook for the set or overall Thai markets?
Right. I think, you know, before we were always trying to look for different kind of alphabets to try to categorize whatever, hopefully, recovery that's going to be down the road. But, you know, we've talked about V-shaped recovery, U-shaped recovery, L-shaped recovery, W-shaped recovery. But I think this other letter is getting more attention is the K-shaped recovery. So it looks like, you know, after what central banks have been doing in terms of pump priming all this liquidity into the markets, your financial assets have basically recovered. If you look at some data such as the world stock capitalization, we are above the levels of what we saw back in January this year. And if you put that into context in comparison to what happened into the hamburger crisis, that took more than about a year before the stock market level of the world recovered back to the levels before Lehman Brothers went collapse. There are also other data is that if you look at the amount of global bonds that are actually yielding negative interest rates, that's up from $7.6 trillion US dollars back in March. And now we're about close to 15.7 trillion. So therefore, that's reflecting so much liquidity and its effect on the financial assets. At the same time, as we were talking about earlier, is the other leg of the K, which is going down, is the real economy. So you have a dichotomy between the real sector and the financial assets. So to come back to your question about the lofty valuation, it looks like the low cost of capital is propping up the market to 22 times earnings, then it's not going to go anywhere far is because people still have expectations that your top line is not going to grow at all. And actually, on the contrary, it's going to be contracting for the next 12 months, I would say. So therefore, you have kind of a tug of war between in terms of valuations. The low cost of capital is trying to keep the price earnings up. And then the dismal outlook in terms of top line revenue is keeping price earnings from going up any higher.
All right. And so just very quickly, how is this all impacting your outlook now for the end of the year? As you mentioned, there's so many challenges and uncertainties and questions to be answered at the moment. How do you think this might affect both the set and the bot as we near the end of this very unforgettable year?
Right. I think the stock market for the remainder of the year will probably fluctuate between 1250 to 1400, citing the reasons I alluded to earlier, because if you take into consideration that the market is trading 20 times earnings, that works out to an earnings growth of about 2%, positive 2%, while we were talking about earlier that, you know, the market, the economist, on the other hand, is thinking about GDP contracting somewhere almost like 10%. So it'll be fluctuating in those bands, not a clear direction, because we're probably still waiting for any kind of positive catalyst. And as we were talking about earlier, is about the political uncertainty and also the second wave that's going to be coming. And therefore, traditionally and seasonally, the bot is really strong in the fourth quarter going forward, because that's the peak season in terms of tourism. So you get more tourists coming in, they have to exchange their dollars for bot, and that creates excessive demand for the local currency. But this year, we're not going to have that, because as we were talking about earlier, the only way we can get any kind of sustained recovery is not through the Phuket model. We have to wait for things like the discovery of an effective vaccine. Not only that, we have to wait for the distribution, because 7 billion people around the world are going to be waiting for this vaccine, and everybody has to get in line. And that will probably take some time in order to get that kind of immunity. And we're hoping for that kind of herd immunity, which hasn't come through yet. So therefore, the tourism outlook will still be very depressed for quite some time until people are brave enough to get on a plane. And there's very little that you can do in terms of social distancing in a confined area of an airplane up in the air at, you know, 50,000 feet or what have you. So therefore, I think in terms of the economic outlook, we're probably going to be hovering around where our gross domestic product is going to be still in negative territory through the fourth quarter. And, you know, somewhere maybe minus 5.8% in comparison to the fourth quarter of last year. But coming back to your other question about the currency, despite the fact that we mentioned that tourism is going to be absent this year in comparison to last year, the collapse in domestic demand, as we were talking about earlier in terms of consumption, that continues to kind of support the current account to continue to be in surplus. So in the fourth quarter, it looks like the current account surplus to GDP will still be in excess of 4%. And that, through its mechanics, will continue to support the bot. But notwithstanding the wild card in terms of the elections in the U.S., that could have other ramifications besides the factors I've mentioned about specifically for Thailand. We think that by the end of the year, the bot to the dollar should be trading about 30.5 by the end of the year.
Interesting. And November becomes a very key flashpoint for global markets, including those in Thailand, as we near the end of the year. Mr. Kobsit Silpachai, Head of Capital Markets Research at Kasikorn Bank, thank you so much for joining us today on Across the ASEAN. I hope you and your loved ones continue to stay safe out in Bangkok and have a great rest of the week. Cheers.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.